Psalms 9, verse 7 through 10 says, "But the Lord shall endure forever. He hath prepared his throne for judgment. And he shall judge the world in righteousness, and he shall minister judgment to the people in uprighteousness. The Lord shall also be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee, for the Lord has not forsaken them that seek him." And in 17 it says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forgot him." Let's go to prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you this evening, Father, and I thank you, Lord, for your written word, Lord, that we are able to sit and to study it and to listen to it, Father. I pray, Lord, that tonight, Lord, that this word, Lord, that I bring, Lord, that we would receive it, Father, and we would there'd be many people that would think about this, Lord. And this would maybe change some people's lives, Father. And I just thank you for the opportunity for being able to come here and to preach your word, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as you know, right now we got what's going on in the world right now. You know, we have all these, we have this pandemic and this these riots and everything that's going on right now. And a lot of people I talk to, their fears in this world, their fears and things that are going to come. And I look at people and examine, and I'm like, wow, you know, a lot of people that are fearing are Christians. A lot of people that are moved with the things that are happening. And, you know, a lot of I want to talk tonight about something that not too many people think and they take in their mind and they really think about. The most for sure thing in our lives is that we're going to die. One day we will draw our last breath and we will no longer be here on planet Earth. Our soul will either go to heaven or hell. There's no in-between. The Bible doesn't say that there's an in-between. And you know, we a lot of people, I've talked with a lot of people, they sit and they put their money and they put their hope in money. They look toward life for comfort. There's a lot of people that don't read the Bible, they don't study the Bible, they don't want to know nothing of the Bible, and they just put their comfort in money. They prepare for their retirement, they prepare for when they get old, and they call that the golden year. Sometimes those years ain't so golden. We're gonna get weak. Our bodies are gonna start breaking down. We're gonna go through all these things. We're gonna have hurts, pain, sickness, and nobody prepares for what's coming. For death is coming to all. I want to go through a story in the Bible. See, In the Gospels, Jesus started talking in parables. And I don't believe that this story is a parable. This story, because parables is, a parable is an earthly story with a spiritual application. I don't believe this story is a parable because he gives names and accounts and it's more personal. And this is a story of the rich man and Lazarus. It's a story about a man that ended up in hell. And I'm going to be reading out of Luke chapter 16. If you want to follow along, you can. If not, if you're not too good in finding, just listen and just write some things down, because we're going to go through a couple of scriptures. This one guy told me one time, how can you tell me about hell when you've never been there? You've never been to hell. You've never died. You don't know what hell's like. And I said, well, the Bible is clear on what hell is. And the Bible is there to tell us what hell will be like and what and who's going there. And a lot of people don't believe it. And let me start out. There's a story. It says, "And there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime received thou good things, and likewise received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither would pass from hence to you, there cannot pass to us that would come from thence. Then said I, pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, and thou mayest testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went out from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto them, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. This is a story of a man going to hell and a man going into heaven. The Bible don't say what kind of man this was. He could have been a religious man. He could have been a righteous man. He could have been a man of evil. But he ended up in hell. There's a lot of people. See, a lot of people, if you go to YouTube, you'll find all kinds of stories of people that went to hell, and they'll tell you stories. But, and you know, if you read the Bible, it shows that right here, he's asking that if he would send somebody, and he says, no. He says, no, they have Abraham and the prophets. Well, now we have the for sure word of God, all 66 books. And he wouldn't let someone come from hell. And that's why sometimes it's hard. I look at these people that go on YouTube and they put all these stories how they went to hell. And you examine what they say. They say that, you know, the devil's in there torturing them and this and that. And then you take it and you compare it to the Bible and you say, wow, they are so off. They're so off. And I want to take you through the Bible, through a couple of, I'm going to pinpoint, there's a lot of scriptures in the Bible that talk about hell, what it's like and who's going there. And I want to search for truth. I want to show y'all what hell is going to be like. Because there's going to be a lot of regrets one day. And we'll start out in the book of Jude. Jude is second to the end. You got 3 John, Jude, and Revelations. So in the book of Jude, and Jude 1, 122, it says, And some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating the garments spotted by the flesh. See, some people, you have to save them with love and compassion. And some people, you got to save them with fear. And they begin to hate, and they know what's coming to us. Because, you know, hell has to be preached, I believe, because there's so many people that don't believe in it. They make their own idea of what it's going to be like. I've heard a lot of people give their opinion on it. So I want to go through the Bible. Let's go back to Luke 16. Luke 16, it's about the story we read. And let me show you right here in Luke 16. See, the scriptures are very clear. They're very clear. It says right here, "And it came to pass that the beggar died, and he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. And the rich man also died and was buried." See, there is the difference between the death of the body. The Bible says he was buried, and he was buried. He died and he was buried, but he's still around in the next verse. The Bible is very clear about this. It says, "And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom." See, when you die, that's not the end of you. You're still going to go to a place. It's either going to be heaven or it's going to be hell. And right here the Bible says he died and he was buried. But the Bible says he lifted up his eyes in hell, being in torment. And see, that's something that you got to take and you got to think about. I wonder how he felt when he opened his eyes, about the fear that fled his soul when he opened his eyes in a place that you never thought that you would be, in a place that you never believed existed. But one day we will know and we will see. And Mark, so I'm going to go through a bunch of verses that are going to show that there is a place. And Jesus talked about it a lot. In Mark 9, I'm going to go through a bunch of scriptures to describe hell. I'm in Mark 9:43. Mark 9:43, this is Jesus. He's giving a warning. He's giving a warning. It says, and if he's stating how this is so important. He says, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched. And where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter in half into life than having 2 feet cast into hell, into the fire that shall never be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if the eye offend thee, pluck it out. For it be better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. See, the Bible says that there's a fire there that's never quenched. That means the fire will never go out. It's going to burn forever. He says that there's worms that dieth not. And if you read it, it says right here that their worms die not. So it's like if we have our own assigned worms to us. He says that their worms dieth not. Can you imagine that being in fire that will never go out, that will never be quenched? And there's going to be worms there, and they're going to be all over us. Let me show you where it says in Revelations 14. In Revelations 14:10. Because a lot of people don't believe it. They make up their own opinion on how it is. And Revelations 14:10, it says, "The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb." A lot of people say when you go to hell, you're separated from God, but that's not true. The Bible says that you will be in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. The Lamb is Jesus Christ. The Lamb is Christ Jesus. You're not going to be separated from God. You will be there and you're going to have a lot of regrets, because a lot of people reject it. It says also, and the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they having no rest, day or night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever received the mark of his name. See, the Bible says there's no rest. See, just having no rest is a form of torment in its own. When you get tired, you want to rest. When sometimes you're busy with life running around and you got to keep doing something, and you get tired and you get frustrated and you get biting back with people, and to have no rest, that right there is going to be torment. To be never able to rest, to always be burning, always having worms. In Revelation 20, it says, 20:10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Right there, the Bible says that the devil and the false prophet and the beast will be in there. See, the devil is not running hell. The Bible says that they're going to be tormented day and night. And so many people, they go on YouTube and they make these videos and they say that the devils are torturing us and they're poking us and they're doing all this stuff. Right there, there's proof. The devil is not running hell. God is going to run hell. Jesus Christ and the holy angels are going to be there. And the Bible says that they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. See, it says that it's in the lake of fire and brimstone. And in Jude 1:6, in Jude 1:6, it says, and the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. See, there's going to be everlasting darkness in there. And they're going to be with chains, and you're going to be bound up. So far it says that there's going to be a fire that's never quenched. There's going to be worms. You're going to be tormented in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. You're going to have no rest. It's going to be day and night. You're going to be in darkness. There's going to be chains that are bounding. If they're bounding the angels, they're going to be bounding us. It says right here in Revelations that there's also these creatures that are in hell. In Revelations 9, 1 through 3, let me see, Revelations 9, 1 and 3 says, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose smoke out of the pit as smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth having power. And it says in 7, and the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and their heads were as it were a crown like of gold, and their faces were as a face of men. And they had their hair as hair of women, and their teeth were as teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And their tails were like unto scorpions, and they had stingers in their tails, and powers was to hurt men 5 months. The Bible says there's also going to be some creatures that are going to come out of hell. Hell's a place that we don't want to go to. Hell's a place that you don't want your friends or family to go to. It says in Jude 6 and 7. I already read that one. Okay, Matthew 25. See, because a lot of people, they don't believe it. They haven't read the Bible, and it's unclear to people. Matthew 25:41. It says, "Then shall he say unto them on their left hand, Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." 46 says, "And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal." There's going to be everlasting punishment. It's going to have fire that's never quenched. There's going to be a worm that never dies. You're going to be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. There's not going to be no rest. It's not going to be a fun place. People say, "Well, I'll just go and I'm going to party it up. I'm going to go to hell and I'm just going to party it. I'm going to be there with all my friends." Hell's not a fun place. Hell is going to be a place of torment, of darkness, of chains. You're going to be bound. You're going to be there where the fire is never going to go out. And people mock it and make jokes of it. They make all kinds of jokes of hell, like it's not real. And then you have today, you have this virus that came and hit the earth, and everybody's scared over that. And the most for sure thing in your life is that we are going to die one day. And people ain't thinking about that. They don't take that. They don't prepare for it. They prepare for everything else. They go to the store and they go and they gather all the toilet paper up. They gather food up. They gather their mask and their gloves and their sanitizers. And that's just temporary. The odds of you recovering is very, very well. It's very high. You know, I know personally about probably about 3 people that have died from the coronavirus. And I know a couple people that have survived it. And you know, when they die, everybody says that they're in heaven now. They're gonna get their wings and they're going to heaven. We don't all go to heaven. We don't all magically fly away with some wings. The Bible says that the only way you go into heaven is if you have the Son. And you know, there's a request in hell. There's a request. It says right here in that story, the rich man, he's crying for mercy. He says, Luke 16:24, "And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his fingers and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy life received thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and thou is tormented." He says, "Besides all this, between us and you is a great gulf fixed," he says, "so that they would pass from hence cannot." He says, there's going to be people that would want to come over here, but they can't because there's a great gulf fixed. You're going to remember and you're going to want them. But he says, they can't pass from over there. They can't come over here if they wanted to. And people that are here can't go over there. He says right here, he says, "So that they which would pass from hence cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from there." From thence means there. And he says, "Abraham said unto them, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went from the death, they would repent." See, there's going to be a lot of regrets. There's going to be a... This is why it's very important that a born-again believer goes out and preaches. And you know, even Jesus in Matthew 9, even Jesus is wanting that people would, would, would go out. Matthew 9:36. He says, "Then said unto his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. I pray thee, therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest." Even Jesus is willing that God would stir up a believer, a person that's been born again, a person that knows the truth. He would stir up that person and that he would go out into the world and warn people about what's coming. See, there's going to be a... Let me show you another one in Acts. Because we need people. We need believers. Because if you don't have a believer, a born-again believer, they don't understand it. Look, Acts 30 is a story of the eunuch. Acts 8:30 says, "But Philip ran hither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, saying, understand it what thou readest. And he said, how can I except some man should guide me? And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of scripture where he read was this, that he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened not his mouth. And in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare this generation? For his life is taken from the earth." And the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I pray thee, of whom thee speakest, the prophet or of himself, or of some other man?" Philip opened his mouth and began the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. See, of a born-again believer does not go out and goes and shares the gospel and tells a person, a born-again believer, don't go out and tell them, how can a person that is unsaved understand? That's why he says, I need somebody to guide me. I need a born-again believer, a true believer in Christ, to come out and give me the word and share the word with me. Because there's going to be a lot of people. They're going to have a lot of regrets. Let me show you in Revelations. It's going to be a very sad time. Revelations 21:4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." That's like the song we're singing. "Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away." Why are they crying? Why are God's people crying? God's people are crying because they just witnessed the great white judgment. Let me show you why they're crying. Revelations 20:11. "And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away, and there was found no more place for them." So what has happened here? Heaven and earth has fled away. Everybody's in one place. The heaven and the earth has fled. We're all there. At judgment. "And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were open. And another book was open, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell were delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." See, they're crying because they just witnessed the great white judgment. Everyone here, on that day, you're going to stand there. And you're going to see your co-workers, your cousins, your mom and your dad. You're going to see your children. You're going to see friends you knew as they were escorted into hell, into the lake of fire. They're going to look at you and they're going to say, why didn't you tell me? We're all going to know these things before. I'm going to show you why. And you're going to be grieved in your heart. Why didn't I just tell them? Why didn't I pull them aside and shake them? Hey, this is not a lie. This is what's coming. We're all going to sit there one day and we're going to watch our loved ones. We're going to watch friends that rejected it. We're going to watch our family members as they're escorted into hell. But let's look at it. Why does it say that? It says that they were judged, everyone according to their works. Well, let me show you what it says in Romans 2:16. Romans 2:16 says, this is Paul. He says, in the days when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. What's your secret? Everyone's secret is going to be revealed. The secret is, did you truly trust Jesus Christ for what he did on the cross? Did you trust the blood that was shed on the cross? Or did you trust your own works? See, he says, everyone will be judged according to their works. He says, the book's going to be open. I believe that that's the Word of God. The books. This book right here, it's not just one book. It's 66 books. And everybody that thinks that they're making it to heaven by what they do, he's going to pull it out. And he's going to say, okay, did you ever commit adultery? Did you ever tell a lie? Did you ever? He's going to weigh you on the balances of life, and you're going to fall short. He says that he would judge every man according to their works. Those are people that are not saved. Those are people that they're thinking that they can save themselves. If you think that you're saved by turning from your sin, this is a work. If you think that you're saved by getting baptized. See, every Muslim, every Catholic, every Mormon, every Jehovah's Witness, every Pentecostal, every Apostolic, every Lutheran, every non-denomination, every Baptist, every religion that preaches works is false. We're not saved by what we do. We're saved by what Jesus Christ did for us. We're saved by the finished work of Christ. See, let's go back to Revelations. Revelations. Okay, we read that the death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Chapter 21 says, and I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. That was in the beginning when he brought everybody down to judgment in the old heaven and the new earth were gone and there was no place. We're all sitting before judgment. And now he says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first earth and heaven were passed away and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city of Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he shall dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death, no more sorrow, nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. That's why they were crying. They just witnessed the great white throne of judgment. But it's only be for a short time. And he says, everybody that is a born-again believer, he said, they're going to drink from the water of life freely. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. This is why it's real important that if you are not 100 sure that you are saved or that your family members or your friends, it's important that we learn how to tell them about Christ. And if you don't know how, you go out and you get somebody. Because sometimes they won't receive you. Family sometimes don't listen to family. And you go out and you get a brother in Christ and you tell them, look, it's very important. I want this person to know how they can be saved. Because there's a lot of, the Bible says that there's many ways that lead to destruction. But there's only one way. It gives you eternal life. And you know, I just, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4 is the gospel. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, which also ye've received, and wherein ye stand. That means you stand firm on that belief. By which also ye are saved. See, you're saved through the gospel. The Bible says you're saved through the gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain, you truly didn't accept what Christ did for you. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again on the third day according to the Scriptures. See, all through the Gospels, all through the New Testament, he says, believe in me. And they believed in themselves. They believed in their religion. They believed in their works. They believed in what man thought about them. You know, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever, that means anybody, murderer, idolater, any person that's ever lied, any person that's ever broken any kind of commandment or law, anybody that's in prison, anybody that's ever killed somebody, he says, whosoever believes in me shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life means something that lasts forever. The Bible's clear. It says there's everlasting punishment and there's everlasting life. I know where I'm going. I'm going to heaven, to everlasting life. If anybody's here, amen, brother, if anybody's here is unsure where you're going to go, you need to make sure that you understand the gospel of salvation. Let me give you a couple scriptures, because a lot of people, this is what I believed before, this by what you do. And Romans, it's right after Acts, Romans 4:4 says, now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. That means if you think you're saved by what you do, he says that the grace is removed from you and now you're in debt to do the whole law. He says, but to him that worketh not, but believe on him that justified the ungodly. Who's the ungodly? Me? You? Or ungodly? That his faith is counted for righteousness. When you believe and trust in him, he will put his righteousness in you. See,
God don't accept nobody's righteousness, because the Bible says there's not one righteous, but there was only one, Jesus Christ. And when you believe and trust in what he did on the cross, he says, by your faith, I will give you my righteousness, which is not your own righteousness, it's his righteousness. And he gives it to you when you believe. Look what it says in Titus. So, if anybody tells you works, then works is not how you get there. You get there by believing. Look what it says in Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing and regeneration of the renewing of the Holy Ghost, which is shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying. And these things I will that affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. We're not saved by what we do. We're not saved by feeding the poor, by telling people about Christ. See, who goes to hell, you don't go to hell because you're rich or poor. You don't go to hell because you sinned. You don't go to hell because you did horrible things. The reason you go to hell is because you weren't forgiven of your sins. And you rejected what Christ did for you. See, everyone here is a sinner. But the Bible says when you believe and trust God, that he blots out all your iniquities and transgressions that were against you. Hell is a horrible place. God suffered the horrors of the cross to keep you out of the horrors of hell. Because hell is horrible. Once you're there, there's no getting out. There's nobody to cry to. There's nobody to hear you. There's nobody that will pray you out of there. Once you're there, you're there. Once you've been forgiven, you're forgiven. He says it's a free gift. Freely. And the only way you can have that gift is by believing and trusting the gospel of Jesus Christ, what he did for you, how he paid for your sins, and how you are redeemed, and how he became your Savior. A lot of people make him the Lord of their life, but they never made him the Savior because they're trusting in themselves. And I remember what Brian said, it stuck with me. He said, anything that elevates what man can do brings what Christ did down low. It says that what you did is not enough. In the book of Hebrews, it says people that trotted under the blood, and he said, what more sore punishment for them that counted the blood of Christ of nothing? When you believe you're saved by repenting to a priest, by getting baptized, by doing anything, anything you put before what Christ did, it's false. So, anybody that doesn't truly trust Christ, you know, it's very important that you come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ, because we don't know when our last day on earth will be. We don't know when our family member would die. I knew a guy, he was in his prime. He just caught this virus and gone. They say he's flying in heaven. Never knew Christ. Never came to know the gospel. It's very important that we understand what hell is about. And every born-again believer that is here in this place, it's very important you go. Even Jesus said, I pray that he would send laborers to the harvest. Everybody that knows, now you know what hell is like. what it's like and who's going there. And I pray that this word will help either if you're not born again, you want to know how you can be born again into Jesus Christ, how you can have all your sins forgiven. Or if you're a born again believer, I hope this message encourages you that you would bring the word to somebody. Thank y'all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come before you tonight, Father. Lord, I thank you for this word that you've given us so we don't have to worry. We don't have to wonder what hell is going to be like. We don't have to end up in hell because the Bible says that this word is for everyone. And whoever believes and trusts in what you did, they can surely bypass it. Because the Bible says that you paid the price. You are our sacrifice. You are our redeemer. I pray, Father, that tonight that this word would stay in our hearts and in our minds. Whether we're a believer or not a believer, that it would inspire some of us to go out and share the word. There's going to be many that will reject it. But there also can be many that will receive it. Thank you for tonight. Thank you for this word, Father. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.